And welcome to the Gun Show, where we talk about pistols, revolvers, rifles, shotguns, ammunition, concealed carry, personal defense training, and attacks on our beloved Second Amendment right to protect ourselves and our families. Folks, this morning, as always, we're going to open our phone lines to answer your firearms, ammunition, and personal defense questions. But in the meantime, Dee Wample will join us to talk about the Mexican cartels and their drug-related violence that's coming across our southern borders. Then local attorney and local firearms dealer Craig Heidemann will talk about the upcoming gun control. Finally, I'll close out this morning's show talking about how to avoid being a victim of violent crime. Before we get to this morning's topics, I want to let you know we're proud to have U.S. Law Shield as a sponsor. They want to help us help you better protect yourself and your family. U.S. Law Shield. Remember, they're your legal defense for your self-defense. Because if you own a gun and you must defend yourself, you'll need U.S. Law Shield. When you join U.S. Law Shield, you'll have 24/7 emergency access to an attorney when you need it most. At U.S. Law Shield, you'll pay zero attorney's fees for criminal or civil proceedings for covered events, even for appeals. U.S. Law Shield has no caps or copays. Every U.S. Law Shield member gets the best defense program in the country for only $10.95 a month. That's $10.95 a month. Go to my website, mattkenobi.com, and click on the direct link to U.S. Law Shield and sign up today. Your freedom and your family's financial future depend on it. We also want to take a moment to let you know that our next $40, that's $40 CCW class, is Saturday, November 30th. And in the meantime, we have $50 practical handgun, rifle, active shooter, and home defense firearms courses available. Go to our website, mattkenobi.com, and sign up for any of our courses. And while you're there, check out our free training videos and free text training tips. If you want to contact us this morning, you can always go to our radio show website, thegunshowradio.com. Or you can email me at matt@mattkenobi.com. That's matt@mattkenobi.com. And you can even call or text us this morning right here in the studio at 417-447-5743. That's 447-5743. Right now we've got our local crime stats that are always brought to you by my very dear friend, Dee Wample and Joe Passanese, as well as our friends Terry and Brenda at A Advanced Bail Bond.
Good morning. Now,
I'm sorry, Sarah.
Jumped the gun right there.
Jumped the gun, no pun intended.
Okay, so our crime stats are running from Saturday, October 19th, from Friday, October the 25th. So far this week, we've had 93 calls for assaults, 47 calls for burglaries, and 24 calls for shots fired. On Saturday, we had 7, one at the 3200 block of North National Avenue, one at the intersection of South Scenic Avenue and West Del Mar Street, another at the 600 block of West Atlantic Street, another at the intersection of East Page Street and South Crutcher Avenue, another at the 1300 block of North Douglas Avenue, one at the intersection of West Chestnut Expressway and North O'Hara Avenue, and our seventh of Saturday was at the 500 block of North Eldon Avenue. On Sunday, we had 1. It was at the 1300 block of North Fulbright Avenue. On Monday, we had 2, one at the intersection of West Della Street and North Grant Avenue, and another at the intersection of East Kearney Street and North Boonville Avenue. On Tuesday, we had 2, one at the intersection of South South Avenue and East Lombard Street, and another at the 3400 block of East Lombard Street. On Wednesday, we had 6, one at the intersection of North Oak Grove Avenue and East Blaine Street, another at the intersection of East Blaine Street and North Hayes Avenue, another at East Kearney Street and North Weller Avenue, another at East Cherokee Street and South Maryland Avenue, one at the 1100 block of South Glen Avenue, and the sixth one of Wednesday was at the 700 block of North Jonathan Avenue. On Thursday, we had 4, one at the 2700 block of West Division Street, another at the 600 block of South Warren Avenue, one at the intersection of East Atlantic Street and North Washington Avenue, one at the intersection of South Robertson Avenue and East Grand Street. And on Friday, we had 2, one at the 900 block of West Poplar Street and one at the 1000th block of West Portland Street. So once again, we had 93 calls for assaults, 47 calls for burglaries, and 24 calls for shots fired.
Well, let's thank God that our call for shots fired dropped from, what, like 36 down to 24 for a week. So let's praise God for that. But look at those assaults. 93 calls for assault. 93. So if you think physical violence isn't being perpetrated on citizens here in the Springfield area, you are mistaken. Folks, do what you can to better protect yourself and your family. Stay tuned throughout the show. My last segment is going to be talking about just that, how to avoid being a victim of violent crime. You can't guarantee it's never going to happen, but there are some things you can do to help lower your chances, and you got to have a plan. We'll talk more about that towards the end of the show. Right now, I want to throw it over to D. Wampler, but before I do so, I want to let you know that our segment, or his segment, is always brought to you by my very good friend, former firearms student, and, again, great Christian business owner, Scott Estes and his knowledgeable staff at Wildcat Tool Rental. Go to wildcattoolrental.com for all your tool rental needs. D, the cartels in Mexico are incredibly violent, and this can be demonstrated, or at least shown, in the movie Sicario and Sicario 2, Day of the Soldier. The violence that's happening down there in Mexico is just incredible. The killings, the brutality, the torture, and folks, due to Obama's open southern border and the Democratic Socialist Party wanting more open borders, it's going to continue to flood across there more and more into our Midwest and throughout the United States. Do you educate our listeners a little bit?
Yeah, last year alone, in 2018, they had 35,000 homicides, okay? 35,000. Now, that doesn't include people that are committing suicide and things like that. I mean, accidental deaths and things. But 35,000 homicides this year, up until September the 30th of this year, got the most current figures, 25,890 murders in Mexico this year, thus far in 2019. So now this is what's really fascinating. You talk about tight gun control. Up until about 30 years ago, they only had one gun store in the entire nation of Mexico. There was no person-to-person selling of guns or transfers. It was illegal. Without a permit, the waiting time to get a permit was 6 months, and most of the people didn't get a permit because they defined it as extraordinary circumstances that you had to have a permit. Now, right now in Mexico, only 1% of all Mexicans possess a license to own a firearm. I'm not saying they don't own them illegally, but only 1% of the people in the country are really complying with the law and have a weapon. Their constitution was changed back in 1971 and 1972, which gives, and catch this, it gave the federal government of Mexico total control over firearm access. Since that time, the murder rate is twice what it was, okay? So they say, we'll depend upon the government will help us, firearms illegal, nobody's gonna have a firearm. And when they changed that constitution back in 72, the murder rate is now two times. So the bottom line here, when you equate it, Matt, is that when you have strict gun control laws, at least in looking at the facts, I'm just looking at the facts and figures, there's a higher homicide rate going along with the stricter gun control laws. So the old saying about gun laws, no matter how draconian, that's going to solve the crime problem, it's simple. The way to stop a bad guy with a gun in Mexico is with a good guy with a gun. And so they have a high gun ownership rate, but they're getting guns illegally. Well, where do you think they're getting them? The cartels are buying them out of other countries, Brazil and Nicaragua and other countries, and the United States. The figures are kind of difficult to control, but looks like three quarters of all of the guns into Mexico that are obviously illegal are coming from the United States. So there you go. That's a report on the soaring murder rate, proving that gun control is deadly.
Well, one of the things you need to think about, folks, and it's an old saying, but old sayings are often true. That's why they've stood the test of time and are old sayings. When guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns. And that's a prime example of what's going on down in Mexico. And Craig's going to talk a little bit more about this. The upcoming gun control are going to be pushing on us because they're still caught up in the same mentality that Mexico was, and see what it's done for them. So we want you to stick around through the break. I'm Matt Canovey. This is your Gun Show on 104.1 KSGF, Springfield's News Talk FM. Folks, welcome back. I've got Dee Wampler in the studio with me right now. We're talking about the Mexican cartels and their drug-related violence that's coming across our southern borders. Dee, before we went into the break, you talked about basically how the bad guys are shooting each other, but it's not just the bad guys are shooting each other. If the cartels have a bone to pick with you for whatever reason, and yep, this is something that, being Italian, okay, we'll go back to the old organized crime, the mafioso, whatever you want to call them, they had an unwritten rule, and that was, I don't mess with your family or your girlfriend, and you don't mess with my family or my girlfriend. So the families were always set aside. There was no violence perpetrated against your families. They'd kill each other, but they wouldn't stretch it out to the families. That is not true down in Mexico, correct?
Yeah, right now the figures are astounding. More and more family members that maybe didn't really have anything to do with it, especially the children, they're killing the children. So in order to get it at a drug dealer who's kind of down the pipeline here a little bit, he's down the food chain, maybe he's using the drugs or maybe he's stealing some of them or selling them at a low price. When the dealer, the supplier, comes around to get his money, if the money's not there, they not only kill the person that was dealing, but they kill his family. And, of course, they're trying to send a message. I mean, this is serious business. They've got all the cartels there and illegal guns. And to go over it one more time, 35,000 last year. 35,000, can you imagine? I mean, if you figure this up, in a 4-year period of time, as many people are killed in Mexico as is the population of Springfield, Missouri. I mean, that's and the drug trade goes on. And it doesn't seem to stop it. It's
and
still
the violence,
going on.
That kind of violence is going to be perpetrated more so as it comes across the border, because the people bringing it across the border are of the mindset that are putting that violence into play down in Mexico. So those same individuals are coming across the border. In other words, what worked for them in Mexico, they're going to try and put it to work for them here. So it is coming, even to a greater extent than we've already got, and that's what you got to be careful of. Also, down in Mexico, not only will they kill the opposing drug dealer's family, but if you're a politician, if you're a law enforcement officer, if you're
a judge,
and you're standing up against it, against the cartels, they will send a message to everybody by killing you and your family. They have taken over Mexico. It is a failed state. The proof of that is when they picked up Chapo Guzman, he said that at one point the president of Mexico came to him and said, okay, I want $300 million. And Chapo talked him down to $200 million. But that's the way it is.
Then they tried to arrest his son 2 weeks ago, and enough of the people in the community rioted. The federal government had to turn the boy loose because they were starting a civil war down there. They didn't want his son arrested.
Because he's pumping so much money into the economy.
Yeah.
Folks, I tell you what, Mexico is a failed state, and it goes to show gun control hadn't worked for them. It won't work for us. It never has worked. Speaking of that, I want to go ahead and transition here into Craig Heidemann's segment here, who's actually going to talk about some upcoming gun control. Before I do that, I want to let everybody know, Craig's segment is brought to you by my very good friend, former firearms student, and again, great Christian business owner, Don Carricker. at iwantagreathomeloan.com. If you want a great home loan, go to iwantagreathomeloan.com because you know darn good and well you do. Now, Don and his staff have a 5-star approval rating. Listen to this review. Don and his team gave amazing advice and made it easy to finance our home. I highly recommend using USA Mortgage. That's the kind of product you're going to get. That's the kind of service you're going to get from Don Carricker and his staff at iwantagreathomeloan.com. Now, I've got Craig on the line, and Craig's going to talk about some upcoming gun control. Craig, I thought gun control was going away.
Hell, like the undead zombies, they are coming back. You can't kill them. You have to shoot them in the head, to use a bad metaphor. I got a call yesterday to go up and testify in Jefferson City on the 4th before a Senate committee about gun control. And apparently our folks in Jefferson City figure it'd be a good use of our tax dollars to invite 20 anti-gunners to come in and tell the legislature why they should pass gun control measures in Missouri. Our governor has signaled a willingness. You know, keep in mind, he's a former sheriff, and there are law enforcement types that are pro-gun and kind of anti-gun. And as a former sheriff, I'm not sure exactly where our governor stands on gun control, but he has publicly signaled a willingness to entertain gun control measures. I think you've seen from some of our state senators that they're open to the idea. So they're going to bring in 20 folks to Jeff City to say why gun control is a good idea. So one of our like-minded senators called folks to come in and kind of balance that out. But it's coming to Missouri. As you remember, after the shooting down in El Paso, our president, our Republican president, who says he's pro-Second Amendment, and he'll never do anything to weaken the Second Amendment, just like George Bush said, no new taxes, and then raised our taxes. He's indicated that he's going to get some people to do what they don't want to do, and he'll make a very good deal on gun control, and he thinks that gun owners are still going to love him after he does that, and I think the proof will be in the ballot box. But let me tell you, folks, it's coming. So what do we do as gun owners to combat this? I think first thing that you got to do is get involved. You know, when I get a call to go up in Jeff City and I get to clear a day's worth of work away to go up there and participate in the process, I've got to do that, to do the right thing, to be part of it. You've got to communicate with your elected officials. And if you don't know who they are and if you're not talking to them, you can't be complaining when you get results you don't like if you're not engaging them. So what do you do when you engage them? I think, you know, as gun owners, sometimes we get a little lazy and don't think for ourselves, and maybe we get an email from the Gun Owners of America, or maybe we get an email from the NRA, and they want us to put our names on letters and send it in, and that's good, and I encourage everybody to do that. But how much more powerful is a letter that actually has facts in it that you've come up with yourself? And, you know, my wife is a skeptic. When I went and told her that Rudy Giuliani had butt-dialed the NBC investigative reporter, she thought it might have been fake facts. And I said, well, they got a recording of it. And, you know, we decided that was probably a pretty good fact if you got a recording of it. So in this gun control debate, I wanted to give our listeners today some facts. So whether or not you like the Justice Department, I think everybody relies on the FBI uniform crime reporting statistics from agencies that actually participate in the UCR process. And I wanted to kind of give you some facts when engaging folks in this gun control debate. And here's a couple of facts. Are you more likely to be shot or are you more likely to be raped? What do you think, Matt?
Raped.
So rape occurs in 44.4 in people per 100,000 inhabitants. Your likelihood of being murdered is 5. I mean, it is almost 9 times more likely to occur that somebody's going to be a victim of a rape than a gun crime. Well, that's just any kind of manslaughter. Now, of any kind of homicide, guns are involved in 73% of all homicides. So guns are a significant factor in homicides. But what about rifles? There's all this discussion about the evil black rifle, and that is driving the gun control debate, right, Matt? Isn't that true?
Yes, sir.
But listen, this is the FBI's data, folks. FBI data 2018 says all rifles only account for 2% of all murders. 2%. 2%. Everybody say it to yourself. 2%. Why are we talking about something that is an insignificant statistical factor? What is the number? 297 rifles were used in homicides last year, but 6,603 handguns were. So rifles are an insignificant driver. Why aren't we talking about shotguns? They're also at 2%. Joe Biden says everybody should have a shotgun. Well, there is almost statistically as likely to be used in a homicide as a rifle is. Why aren't we talking about shotguns? Knives. Oh, my gosh. Great Britain's knife crime rate is going up. Did you know that of all of the homicides in the United States, what would you guess, Matt Canovi, that the statistical percentage is that a knife is used to cause the homicide?
Oh, heck, I'd have to say 40%.
He says 40. It's a little lower,
11%. 11%, that's a lot less.
So almost five times more than rifles. Other weapons account for 12%. But here's my favorite. We need to be talking about hands, feet, and fists. Hands, feet, and fists cause more deaths per year, twice as many deaths as rifles do.
We need to regulate
5%.
That. We need to regulate
yeah.
that.
You remember the old thing? The government's classified my hands as deadly weapons. Well, they are deadly weapons because they kill people 2.5 times more often than rifles do in the United States. But yet people get whipped up. I think it is remarkable. You know, what did P.T. Barnum say? Never underestimate the stupidity of the American population. It is remarkable how easily we can be whipped up by media furor over statistically insignificant causes of death. Obviously, we want to minimize unnecessary death in the United States, but we also want to protect our freedoms. And we have a freedom under the Second Amendment to keep and bear arms, well-regulated militia being necessary, you know, to the state. We have a right to keep and bear arms.
Oh, and Craig, also, look at how well gun control has worked down in Mexico, and Dee gave us the stats on that. I need you to go ahead and hold up for just a second. We got to step into a hard break. We'll pick it up on the other side with Craig Heidemann. He's talking about upcoming gun control legislation. Stick around with us. I'm Matt Canovi. This is your gun show on 104.1 KSGF, Springfield's News Talk FM. And that's it. Some politician picked up his pen, made me a criminal. Folks, I've got Craig Heidemann online. He's talking about the upcoming gun control legislation here in Missouri as well as at the federal level. And before I throw it back over to Craig, I want to throw the mic over to our producer, Sarah. Sarah, how can our listeners get involved politically so they can make their feelings heard in Jeff City as well as at the federal level?
Well, I mean, our elected officials work for us.
Amen.
So you need, if you feel very strongly about this, you need to get in contact with them. And we do have a way to do that. If you get on KSGF.com, we have a little homepage slider and it does little moving tiles. We do have one called Make Your Voice Heard. And it has a list of different representatives and elective officials all the way up to the White House. It has the email, the address if you would like to write a letter, or a phone number if you would like to call. So that is on KSGF.com. And we have an entire list of local all the way up to the White House.
Folks, get involved, as Craig said. Don't sit back and think it's not going to happen. It is going to happen. Okay? Think about what can I do to stop it. Start by going to the website, contacting your representative, raise hell with them, let them know what's going on, give them some of the facts Craig gave you here. Do what you can to protect your Second Amendment, because if you don't do anything to protect it, you're going to lose it. Also, Sarah, I believe we're going to be sitting in for Nick Reed on Monday.
You are. Thank you so much. Yep. So from 6 to 9, you can catch Matt Canovi filling in for Nick Reed. And just thank you for filling in.
No problem. We enjoy helping out. Nick's a great guy. Craig, thanks so much for your patience, my friend. Dive in and help our listeners understand what's coming with more gun control.
All right. So these arguments all start the same way. You take something that everybody can agree on and to solve something that everybody agrees is bad, and then you use it to accomplish a goal that nobody would agree to. It goes like this. Nobody wants to be a victim of gun crime, right? I can agree with that. So we need to make sure that anybody that is a danger, true danger to themselves or others, doesn't have any guns. That's a good idea, isn't it? Well, yeah. But what they don't say is we don't have a crystal ball. We can't determine when somebody is truly a danger to themselves or others, and our judges truly can't do a perfect job of that either. So this argument that we need these red flag laws that Dee's talked about, I've talked about, you've talked about, to somebody to call into the government, and then the government shows up at your house and in the nick of time takes the guns away from the guy that's about to go out and perpetrate some kind of a killing, that just doesn't happen. We're going to take the story here for a minute of a gentleman named David Kristiniak from a Chicago suburb. Now, if you want to envision David here on the radio, for you SpongeBob SquarePants fans, think of Patrick. I'm looking at a picture of him right now. That's kind of what this dolt looks like. Now, he's in Chicago. He's in one of the most anti-gun states in the union, in a Chicago suburb that's anti-gun, Park Ridge. He's mentally ill. He's got a long history with social workers of erratic behavior, and he had had his guns taken away multiple times. So police reports indicate four guns were confiscated in 17, and again in July of this year, because he didn't have a firearms owner ID card in Illinois, which everybody has to have a card to own a gun. So what happens? In July, cops are going by his house, and they see groceries strewn all over the driveway, and they ask if he can come in. And Patrick here, Mr. Kristiniak, he invites them all in to his house, says, sure, you can come in. And there they discover his mother in the living room, upside down in a trash can, and she'd been stabbed multiple times in her chest with what? 11% of our crimes are committed with a knife or edged weapon, a samurai sword. So they took the guy's guns away. Didn't solve his mental illness problem, just took away one of many modalities to cause death and destruction, and he found what he had on hand and used it. So the idea that gun control is a fix-all, do-all, beat-all to solve violent crime is ridiculous. Now, people say the argument is, well, if it's better than doing nothing. No, it's not. Taking away our constitutional rights in an effort to look like we're being proactive in doing something that's ultimately ineffective is not better than doing nothing. Doing nothing and preserving our constitutional rights and freedoms will always be better than trying to look busy and at the same time whittling away the rights that our forefathers fought and died for. What do you think, Matt?
Well, Craig, you're right. And one of the ways I've learned to strike back at those folks who try and come up with the argument you just put out is most everybody has got a car. They may not have a gun, but they got a car. And I'd say, okay, how many people, I think, won't we agree that anybody dying is not a good thing? And if we can stop anybody from dying, we should do what we can. And they go, oh, yeah, I agree. Well, how many people die in car accidents? Far more than die with guns, right? Wow, so maybe we should figure out a way to get rid of individual cars, go to mass transit. That would reduce the number of deaths, plus it would also help against global warming and all. Don't you think that's good? And they jump up, well, no. Well, is that because you're going to have to give up your car and you're not going to have your freedom and independence to go where you want, when you want, and that's going to be curtailed? Well, that's different. No, it's not. No, it's not at all. And I've found that does get some traction. So dive in. Finish up.
Think about this. Let's go back to the statistics because statistics don't lie. My wife and I are getting ready to send our oldest daughter off to college in a couple of years. And what are the FBI statistics on what the most likely violent crime is that a woman in the United States is going to face? 147,000 rapes. Occurs 4.4 per 100,000. We're going to send her off, let's say, to a state school. So my nephew was down from Missouri School of Science and Technology, and he points out, even though he's in enlisted in the ROTC program, he's got a military ID, no guns on campus. They've got to rely on their school cop to protect him, and he described him as being as big around as the 33-inch wheels on the back of my Jeep. Can't have a gun on campus. As these rights get whittled away, it's going to whittle away our right to protect ourselves from the people that don't follow the law ever. They're going to keep their guns. They're going to keep raping and criming. I mean, the property crime statistics, there were over 7 million property crimes causing $17 billion in property loss last year. We're not going to be able to protect ourselves from these people who don't care about the law anyway. Well, and that's just shocking.
Well, we said it earlier. When guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns. And that's what happened down in Mexico. The proof is in the pudding. Well, anti-gun laws don't stop the crime. It's there. There's no doubt about it. The facts are supported. Go ahead.
Well, and our legislature, that's a great saying, Matt, but until our listeners put a personal touch on this,
amen,
for our legislators, until they tell them, listen to this story, listen to what happened to me, until you personalize it for them, we're just going to continue to be ignored by these career politicians.
That's right.
You know, unfortunately, I think the goal of draining the swamp, when you drain the swamp of one kind of vermin and you fill it with another kind, you haven't drained the swamp of vermin. So, you know, when our president says, well, I can get some gun control passed and gun owners will still love me, I don't know what to say about that. We just have to be vigilant and we have to get involved.
Well, there it is, brother. Thanks so much for your part. I appreciate your facts and evidence you threw out today for our listeners. Folks, you got to get involved. Go to KSGF website, get involved, start sending letters. I challenge you every week, send an email. Every week, send an email. It's not that difficult. Do it. We're going to step into a break. I'm going to pick it up on the other side where I'm going to talk about how to avoid being a victim of violent crime. So stick around with us through the break. I'm Matt Canovi. It's your gun show on 104.1 KSGF, Springfield's News Talk. Folks, welcome back. We're down to about the last 8 minutes of the show. And I'm going to talk about how to avoid being a victim of violent crime. We've talked about violent crime down in Mexico that's coming across the border. Craig's talked about the anti-gun laws that are going to be put into effect. The more anti-gun laws are put into effect, the more bad guys have guns, the more bad guys become bold to go ahead and assault people because good people don't have guns to defend themselves. That's why the knife assaults have gone up so dramatically over in the UK. They took away people's guns, so now multiple guys get guns, knives, or get clubs and knives, and now multiple guys can attack one guy because he doesn't have a gun to defend himself. All right, that's the simple facts. That's the way it is. Understand that. Now, another thing you need to understand is that there are no guarantees. So I'm going to talk about some ways to avoid being a victim of crime, but there are no guarantees, all right? But you can take some steps towards prevention. Now, when we talk about prevention, everybody's heard the old saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, right? So when it comes to a health example, if you don't smoke, you watch your diet, okay, get proper exercise, you get regular checkups, the chance of something bad happening health-wise can be greatly reduced. So you can't guarantee nothing bad's going to happen, but you can reduce the chances, okay? And that's what we're talking about today. Now, the first step when it comes to not being a victim of crime is situational awareness. All right, now, what does that mean? To put it very simple, if it doesn't look right or if it doesn't feel right, don't do it. So an example, let's say you're pulling up to get gas and you pull up, you come into the come and go or whatever, you get your gas and you pull in and you see a bunch of street people out there or you see a bunch of individuals who just don't look right. They're either dressed wrong, whatever, it gives you that uncomfortable feeling. Well, guess what? You can get your gas somewhere else. There's a bunch of gas stations around. Just leave. Go somewhere else where you feel more comfortable. Pretty simple, right? If you think something bad's going to happen over there, don't go there. Also, if there are bad areas of town, okay, areas where you see in the news media, stuff's going on, you hear from on our calls for shots fired, you hear that, maybe avoid those areas, right? Also, people, let's say you got Uncle Bob just got out of prison. You know, he's got a bad drug problem, always had a drug problem, always been in trouble. Guess what? Don't hang around Uncle Bob. Okay? If you got a guy you grew up with, went to high school with, you were good friends, he went down the wrong road. Okay, look, avoid that kind of stuff. Also, businesses. If you got a business where there's a lot of criminal activity going on around it for whatever reason, avoid it. Okay, don't go where the bad stuff happens, so bad stuff won't happen to you. Okay, the next step. Have a plan just in case. Because there are no guarantees. So have a plan. Now, people always look at me and they say, well, Matt, what's part of your plan? And I say, well, the first part of my plan is to run. And they think, wait a minute, you're the gun guy. I said, look, I have learned to run with confidence. Now, just because I got a gun and I know how to use it, if I can just run and avoid it, now I'm not a victim. I don't have to hurt somebody else. I don't have to call Craig Heidemann and get U.S. Law Shield involved because I had some sort of armed encounter. Well, why do it if you don't have to? Because even if you're justified, you could go through a whole lot of cost, a whole lot of personal problems, a whole lot of bad publicity. Why go through that? Look at poor Zimmerman down in Florida. He did nothing wrong, yet they wrung him out and destroyed his life and his future. So if you can get away, I'm a big fan. Get away, all right? Call the police, let the police go arrest them, do what they got to do, but you're safe, your family's safe, sounds good to me. Now next, get yourself a CCW permit. We only charge $40. It's the cheapest price in town. Get the training on when you can legally use deadly force that's offered in a class. That way you won't make a mistake, do something stupid, think you're defending yourself, but you end up going to prison for it. So get yourself a CCW permit where you've got the training on how to handle a gun safely and when you can legally use it. It's important stuff. Then, as part of your plan, just in case, get yourself gun training. Don't just go to the permit class, go to the range, and you fire 20 rounds at 21 feet, and then another 20 rounds with no pressure, no stress. Take your time. You got an instructor standing there next to you, helping you so you can go ahead and accurately hit the target well enough to pass. Okay, that's not enough. That's not training for a gunfight. Okay, get yourself some training that's going to help you get up close, fast shots under low light while you're really scared and under a lot of stress and get multiple hits on target. That's how to win a gunfight. So if you go to your local shooting range and you put the target out at 25 yards and you take your time, line up the sights, and you press the trigger, proper trigger control, breath control, all that fundamentals of marksmanship, and you get a perfect headshot at 25 yards. Takes about 15, 20 seconds for you to do it, but you got it. Okay, that's a placebo, folks. In a real gunfight, I doubt seriously you're going to have the gun out standing there at 25 yards. Remember, 40 to 50% of all police shootings occur under 5 feet, 70% under 10 feet, 90 to 1% of all police shootings over the last 60 years occur under 20 feet. Also, since the shootings occur under, most shootings occur under 10 feet, it's going to happen fast, 2.5 to 3.5 seconds. So you've got to get training that'll enable you to get fast, accurate hits on target. A 5-year study by Police Marksman Magazine validated it takes between 3.5 to 5.5 shots to the torso to stop anybody. So get yourself training and get yourself the firearm that allows you to get 3 to 5 shots of the torso in under 2.5 to 3.5 seconds. Now, this means you got to have the right holster. So you got to get training on how to draw the gun from the holster. A lot of these local shooting ranges won't allow you to do that. So you're not really training to win a gunfight. Take advantage of our website, our $50 practical handgun course. I just had a gentleman and his family come out. They loved it. They felt very confident with the skills we were able to teach them. It's not high tech. For $50, a 4-hour class, we can teach you how to win a gunfight. If you don't think so, I'll give you your money back. What trainer offers that kind of guarantee? That's how confident we are in what we do and what we offer. Folks, don't put it off any longer. You want to help yourself avoid being a victim of violent crime. Get yourself situational awareness. Get yourself the right training. Do what you can to be a protect yourself and your family. It's like your own health. Do what you have to keep yourself healthy to help enhance the chance and reduce the chance you're going to have some sort of serious medical condition. Want to go ahead and take a moment to thank U.S. Law Shield for sponsoring this segment. Remember, they're your legal defense for your self-defense. Also need to take a moment to thank Sarah, our producer. I need to thank Dee Wampler and Craig Heideman for everything they bring to the show. Also want to take a moment to thank you, our listeners and our callers. I'm Matt Canovey. This is your gun show because we really are here to help you stay safe out there. So stay tuned.